Welcome to Horsin' Around, brought to you by the OHHA. And today we are talking about life after racing. A standard bred horse is an athlete and very intelligent, and they're well suited for many uses beyond the racetrack. And the USTA has long recognized the importance of standard bred aftercare. To that end, in 1996, they created the Standard Bred Equine Program. And this encourages the use of standardbreds in disciplines other than harness racing after they retire. Joining me to talk about this from the USTA is Jessica Schroeder, Membership Enrichment and Outreach Coordinator. Hey, Jessica, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to start with this program because I think a lot of people that may be upset about horse racing and how horses are cared for and what happens to them after they're done racing. Well, you guys have a great program to answer that question.
Yeah, we do. We have something called the Standardbred Equine Program. Usually when a horse has either retired from racing or is just determined that they weren't fast enough or ambitious enough to go to the races, we wanted to come up with a program that would incentivize people to use them in other disciplines. So whether that would be riding or other types of driving events, we wanted to put the word out there that standardbreds can do pretty much anything you would like to do with them, anything they put their mind to. They're a very willing breed, and I think they're a underutilized breed for those purposes.
So I think something for people to understand, at least that was, since I've been doing the show, something that I have learned, you know, like humans, different horses are more athletic than others, if you will.
Yes.
And like dogs, sometimes you know, when you're looking for a pet dog, some are really active and some aren't so active. and if you have a horse that's really active and needs that every day, once you're done with its racing career, you can't just put it in a pasture and let it sit.
Not all horses. Some horses just need a job. They need something to do. They're used in the race barn. They're used to being dealt with every day, whether it's being jogged or trained. A lot of them get turnout time, sometimes even before they go out and jog, to get that extra energy out. So they're used to doing a lot of different things. So yes, like you said, when you take them from that environment and go to retire them, sometimes they just don't do well as pasture pets and they like to have something to do. And so we're just trying to promote all those different things that you can do with standardbreds after they're done racing.
So let's talk about a couple of these. One of them is dressage. And for people that don't know what dressage is, I think once you explain it, they will realize they've probably seen it before.
Well, dressage, it's a pretty athletic and disciplined, if you would. Mm-hmm. There are certain moves that a horse and rider would have to do in combination in a certain series and in a certain order at certain places in the ring. So, you know, really having kind of like a routine to do, that's what dressage is. And standardbreds haven't been used very much for that, but we have had a program with the United States Dressage Federation, their All Breeds Awards program. We haven't had very much participation in that lately, so the program has been suspended, but all anybody needs to do is call the USTA up and say, hey, I'm going to be showing my horse in dressage in this next year. Would you be interested in re-upping that All Breeds Award program? And we'd be happy to do that.
Gotcha. Okay. How does this work? So I have a racehorse and it's ready to retire. Now, is it something where you help me find it a home with someone that's going to do something with it, like join the American Driving Society or the American Endurance, or is this for people that keep the horse to have alternatives after they race?
The USTA in itself does not actively rehome horses.
Okay.
So if a trainer or an owner has a horse, a lot of them go to adoption agencies. And we now have the Standardbred Transition Alliance, which accredits adoption programs and works with them to give grants and to promote their organization as a rehoming entity. So while the USTA doesn't, there is the Standardbred Transition Alliance, which is a separate entity that does that. Then, of course, you have a lot of different adoption groups that a lot of trainers go to. Some of them are national and some of them are regional and local. So just like there are so many different adoption groups out there for a lot of different breeds, some are focused only on standardbreds, some are focused only on thoroughbreds, some take any breed of horse and standardbred would be included. So these programs that we have through the Standardbred Equine Program, or what we call SEP, they would be for either sometimes trainers and owners retire their own horses and keep them and then participate in these types of programs that we have, or otherwise it's for people that adopt a horse from one of those adoption agencies. Most of the programs we have don't require the horse to be registered in your name, so you don't have to transfer ownership, because a lot of adoption agencies keep that ownership control. So the only program we have that does require the horse to be registered in your name is the Roadster program.
And what is the Roadster program?
So Roadster, there's actually a group called the American Road Horse and Pony Association. They're based down south in Georgia, and they oversee Roadster type horses. So it's kind of like a fancy driving entity. So they're shown in three different rates, to the bike, which is similar to the jog carts that are found at the track, to the wagon, which is a four-wheeled vehicle, and then also under saddle. So the drivers or riders use, they wear like old-fashioned silks that our drivers used to wear back in the 50s and 40s, with the soft hats, and they're brightly colored. So it's not too far off from the racehorse entity, but what they're doing is they're taking these horses that have usually a lot of high action in their front end and have a high head carriage, and they take them to the show ring and show what they can do.
Ah, okay. And so does USTA help someone kind of analyze their horse to kind of guide them into which one of these disciplines they might be really interested in?
A lot of the adoption agencies, when they take a horse in, they do the evaluation. New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program is one of those Standardbred Transition Alliance accredited programs, and they have trainers that are very good at taking the horses in, breaking them to ride, which standardbreds usually don't take very long. They take to the saddle really easy. And then they kind of look at them and say, you know, what do we think they're good for? They take into account how long the horse raced for, why he was retired, if there's, you know, some sort of soft tissue or an injury of some sort. You know, they might say this horse is not suitable for X, Y, or Z. But they do take into account, you know, the way that the horse takes to the saddle, how they behaved if they get the information from the trainer, how they behave driving. Sometimes horses are really hot when they're driven and they just relax under saddle. Other horses are very relaxed driving and might not take to the saddle very well. So the adoption agencies, when they take them in, I think overall I have found that they're very good at determining what the horse might be suitable for afterwards. And then when an adopter says, hey, I'm interested in this horse, this is the type of thing I want to do with them, they might say, you know what, this horse might not be that good for that discipline, but this other horse that we have might. So they're pretty good at matching up the adopter with the horse.
Jessica, let's take a break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about a couple of the other programs that you encourage, one about driving and one about endurance.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine, farm, and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Looking for that special gift for the horse lover in your life? Bow River Jewelry provides custom-made designs using state-of-the-art equipment, hand finishing, and quality stones to ensure your jewelry reflects that love of horses. Bow River Jewelry creates 14-karat gold rings, bracelets, and watches that uniquely exemplify the mutual love between horses and humans. Contact them at bowriverjewelry.com to see the variety of horse-inspired jewelry available or call 888-860-7483 with custom inquiries.
Welcome back to Horsin' Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I am here with Jessica Schroeder. She is the Membership Enrichment and Outreach Coordinator of the U.S. Trotting Association. And we are talking about the Standard Bred Equine Program that they run, which encourages life after racing for standard bred horses. And the way that they do that is by partnering with the national organizations to promote the breed and then giving awards that recognize the many talents these horses have competing away from the track. And one of those talents is driving. Jessica, let's talk about your partnership that encourages standard bred owners to compete in driving.
Yeah, so that's through the American Driving Society. It's a discipline organization, and they recognize different breeds and do different breed awards, kind of like the Dressage Federation. So they have something called, it's HDT and CDE, which is combined driving events. Sometimes they're held in one day, sometimes they're held over multiple days. And there's certain types of carts that you can use. There's certain attire that the driver has to wear. It's not racing and it's not roadster. It's pretty specific, but it's almost like taking cross-country jumping, but with driving.
Okay. With the endurance, what exactly would that do, or would a horse be doing if they joined the American Endurance Riding Conference?
So our partnership with AERC recognizes standardbreds that go out on the trails and participate in their events. So standardbreds, because of the miles that they log in, jogging and training every day, they have a really good endurance already built up. They got good lung capacity. They usually have quick recovery rates when their, you know, when their heart rate goes up because they're jogging and training, and then they recover good. And those are all qualities that are really essential in endurance riding. There's endurance rides of, there's introductory rides of 12 miles and 25 miles on the trails. And then there's the actual competition, which is 50 and 100 miles. So sometimes those 100 mile events are held over 2 days. So we have found this is probably actually our most utilized program that we offer. We have quite a few standardbreds that compete in these endurance rides every year, and they log hundreds of miles in these competitions. So some of the horses, you know, log anywhere from 400 to 500 miles in a year in these competitions. So what we do is, it's not necessarily how many wins you have at these rides. It's just the fact that you finish these rides. AERC motto is kind of to finish is to win. And that's kind of the take that we have taken on it too. So as long as you complete a ride at 25 miles, you get count for those 25 miles. And the more of those rides you do throughout the year, then you accumulate the amount of miles. And then we recognize the horse that competed with the most miles in that year.
And then there's the National Standardbred Show.
So the National Standardbred Show is actually put on by the SPHO of New Jersey, and SPHO stands for Standardbred Pleasure Horse Organization. They've been, the work that they do out east is amazing. They put on this show for, and horses come from, I've seen horses come from Missouri for this, and they go and compete in this show. It's just only for standardbreds, and they run the gamut. They have every type of discipline and different riding event and driving event that you can imagine. One of our, the Standardbred Breeders and Owners Association of New Jersey is also a big sponsor of this show. So it really shows that, you know, the standardbred owners and breeders that use horses for racing really do care about what happens to horses when they're done racing. So they've jointly put on this show together for, since 1990, early 90s, they've put this show on, and it's just grown and grown, and the amount of work that they put in, you know, to promote the standardbred and to put on this show is quite impressive.
So of the ones that you guys have on your website, dressage, driving, endurance, roadster, and the show, which one do you feel that the standardbreds usually fall into most?
I would probably say endurance. I'm a member of a lot of different off the track Facebook groups and things like that. And a lot of people, you know, they just love the demeanor of the standard bred. And so a lot of them just, they want to take a horse and just have a really sound, safe, mild mannered horse for the trails. I think a lot of people just do run of the mill trail riding where there isn't a competition of any type, but it's very easy to transition. If you as the rider want to do it, it's very easy to transition that horse into the endurance riding. You know, it's just taking the miles that you would normally log on the trail and doing it in 4 hours and in a quote unquote competition setting. I would say endurance, the endurance program is definitely our most utilized. We've seen the biggest upswing in it in the last couple of years. It doesn't, compared to some of the other disciplines, it doesn't seem to cost as much to get involved with endurance riding. So I would say that that's probably where the most growth has been lately. But if anybody is participating in any type of discipline with their standard bred and they say, hey, would you be interested in doing this all breeds award with this organization or that organization? All you have to do is call the USTA up and we will look into it and most likely do it.
All right. Well, I want to take a break here. And then when we come back, I want to talk more about what else the USTA is doing.
Okay. Looking for your next quality standard bred racehorse? Look no further than Sugar Valley Farm in Delaware, Ohio. Sugar Valley Farm offers stud services anywhere in the world, providing the best stallions available at any price point. With a stallion roster full of names like Well Said, Lather Up, Mr. Wiggles, and Down by the Seaside, winning must be in the water. For more info, call 1-740-363-5618. That's 1-740-363-5618 for Sugar Valley Farm.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standard bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard bred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com.
Welcome back to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchell, and I am here with Jessica Schroeder from the USTA, and that's the United States Trotting Association, not the United States Tennis Association, for any of you who are wondering. And Jessica, let's tell people what you guys do.
So the United States Trotting Association is the breed registry for the standard bred horse and the record-keeping entity for harness racing. We were founded in 1939, and our first offices were actually in New York. But in the 40s, we moved to Columbus, Ohio, and we are currently in Westerville, Ohio.
So how does that work?
Any horse that is born for the purposes of racing, they have to be registered with us, and then only registered standardbreds with us can participate in harness racing. So then we are the central hub then for all of the racetracks as well. So when they create their race programs and put on races, we get all of the entry information and all of the results information. So we are that central hub. So then if a horse races 1 week at Hoosier Park in Indiana and then comes over to Scioto Downs in Columbus, that horse's performance history from Hoosier travels with them. So then it's in that past performance program that's available at the racetracks. So you can see how the horse has done previously.
Oh, cool. With racing in general, horses can switch from owners to owners because at some races or racetracks, if you will, you can buy a horse that day, right?
Yeah, that's something called a claiming event. So basically when you enter your horse in a claiming event at a racetrack, let's just say a 20,000 claimer at Scioto Downs, the horse is, you can buy that horse for $20,000. You put your, I would say, quote unquote, your bid in at least 15 minutes prior to when the horse races. And then if multiple people put in a bid, it's drawn by lot by the racetrack judges, and whoever's name they pick out of the hat, that's who gets the horse when the horse is done racing. So we have horses that can change hands multiple times throughout the year, or, you know, even if it's not in a claiming race, they bought privately. There's horse sales throughout the year that horses can be bought from. So we keep track of all those ownership transfers. Not only do we keep track of all of that, but we also keep track of all their racing. We have reciprocity with an organization like us called Standardbred Canada that's based in Ontario. And we do a daily data exchange because we have horses that might race at the Meadowlands Racetrack in New Jersey this week in a stake race. And then at Woodbine Mohawk Park in Ontario, they might have another stake race in a week or two. So we do reciprocity with Standardbred Canada and we keep all of those records. And all of those records are available online through our website, ustrotting.com, and it's called Pathway. And you do not have to be a USTA member to create a Pathway account. It's free for USTA members and non-members. So you just create an account and then you can see the sample reports that we have, and it's a pay-per-use. So it might cost 75 cents for this report or a dollar for this report. So you can put in $10 and then every report that you view, it would deduct from that $10. And it seems to be that, especially a lot of people that adopt a horse that's retired from racing, they're very interested to know what type of racehorse they were. Did they earn any money on the track? Did they ever win a race? If they did win a race, how can I get a win photo? So accessing Pathway, you can get all that information. You know what racetrack they won at, what the date was, so then you would be able to call that racetrack and get the win photo to hang in your house.
Very cool. And it's kind of like a family tree for a horse.
Yes. Anybody that does Ancestry.com, Pathway and the USTA is that for standardbreds.
Huh.
You can go back. I mean, we have some of those pedigrees, you know, even before the USTA was founded, there was still a registry book called Wallace's. So, I mean, we have some pedigrees that go back to the early 1900s, late 1800s.
So what happens when someone brings a new horse in from another country to breed with a local horse, if you will? They didn't register that horse at the USTA when it was born. How does that come in the mix, if you will?
So we actually right now have a lot of horses that are coming over from Australia and New Zealand. So they are registered over there in those countries. And then we do what's called a foreign horse registration. And those horses are registered here for $350. And then we do the research either in whatever country that they raced in to get their racing information. It's not going to be as detailed as what we have if they were registered in the States, but we kind of do like a summary. So what racetrack, what date, where did they finish, and what was their mile rate time? Because in foreign countries, a lot of horses race at distances other than a mile, whereas 99% of races here in the US and Canada, they are at the mile. But we get all that information from Australia, New Zealand. There's only trotters in Europe, so we do have a lot of horses being imported or exported to those European countries, Sweden, France, Norway. So we just work with the, you know, what would be considered the USTA in that country to get their records so that then we have a more complete knowledge of what that horse did. So that then when that horse, that mare might have been coming from Sweden and is going to be bred here. And then when she has a baby and they register the foal, you know, and maybe sell it as a yearling at a sale, we want to have that pedigree page with as much information as we can have. You know, basically to market that horse to the buyers and say, you know, this is why they bred the horse, because it's got siblings that, you know, have earned all this money over in Europe or something like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that pedigree and that athleticism is very important.
It is very important.
Well, Jessica, thanks so much for joining us on Horsing Around today. We look forward to talking more with you as the season gets rolling again.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
And to learn more about the USTA and the programs that they offer, you can go to ustrotting.com.